Well, today will be my first time ever to speak to you about the subject of love. And the reason I've been avoiding this because I had a conviction in my heart that love is given by God, is a gift of God, is to pour into our hearts. But here the Lord is urging us today to check whether we have this love in our hearts. And also if there is not there, and then he is urging us to love one another. That is the subjects we have today. And Peter is telling us to love one another. And so love is one of the most important aspects of our faith. It's a Christian faith. The love is at the center of our faith. And Christian faith is defined as the message of love of God. And those who have come to this faith, it should be evidence in their life. They are loving people who have come to love the loving God himself and the loving Savior. So today, like other few days, past few weeks, we are looking at 1 Peter. So we are going through 1 Peter. And a letter bears the name of this man who experienced this very love. And so he is not just a man who is just talking about something he hasn't experienced. He was a fisherman drawn by the love of Christ to himself and abandoned everything else and walked with him ever since. And all that he had experienced of Christ was the love of God that delivering him all from all the dominion of Satan and also self-centeredness as a Jew. A devout Jew to be an apostle of Christ who was willing to take the gospel beyond Jerusalem into the whole world. And so he experienced this. He experienced the love of he is talking about. And sometimes, even for us today as Christians, it's a very challenging thing to try to talk about Jesus whom we have not, whose love we have not experienced. So it should be his love that gripped us out of darkness, and it should be this very love he has shown on the cross that should keep us holy. And so even this subject actually is coming under the title of holiness from verse 13, be holy. Verse 13, be holy as I am holy. And you can never be holy by passing this very virtue of love in our Christian walk. So this man, we see him. I caught the word that Martin was sharing, that he said of his friends, the American Christians, who said that they were fascinated about the glory of God and how great Jesus is. And actually this is how Peter is beginning in verse 3 of chapter 1. So this man, he burst into praising God for his glory, for his love. That is what he says. He said, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. It's God who has loved us so much, has loved him so much that he should send his son Jesus Christ. That is what he says here. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. He caused us to be born again. He couldn't just help by not just declaring and praising and rejoicing in the greatness and glory of God in showing his love to us. That is what he says here. And he went on and he said, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But not only that, we are being saved. But also he says, we are kept by the power of God. So we have come to believe, and we are kept in this faith by the very power of God himself. And so if you are standing today as a Christian, you see, it's because God is our keeper. He's the one who is keeping us in the path of righteousness, making sure that we finish the journey and that we reflect and we finish and we give him all the praise and the glory all the way. And we give it not to any other person. And not an idolatry of giving, putting emphasis on man achievements of his greatness, of his thinking. And you know, a lot of fresh thoughts around there. And many of us in the past have espoused to all these ideas. You see, idealism, existentialism, naturalism, all these philosophies, so even pragmatism, so what works, and you see people are being pushing people aside because things are working for them, that is pragmatism. So what works for you, that is the values that works for you, they are the very values that you should choose. This is what they are teaching our students in universities, to be selfish and to be self-centered and to rely on your own understanding. That does not save you. Well, Apostle Peter is declaring this wonderful truth, saying that is God who has acted in history by sending his Son and living among us, sinless Lamb of God, and teaching us. There was a reference to the teaching of Christ, isn't it? Teaching us the ways of God, the teaching that we could not find anywhere else. He said, love your enemies, you see. If your enemy thirsts, and give him water. You see, forgive and you will be forgiven. You see, blessed are the peacemakers. You see, for they shall see God. Gentle in heart, lowly. Yeah, well, Apostle Peter went on to say that we are kept. And so we are kept, not just for a short time. We are not just saved for a short time. You see? Not just for a short time, not just for today. And then we can be worried about tomorrow. Isn't it? No. This is not what it says. If you read verse 5, this is not what Apostle Peter is saying. He said, see, it's through Christ we are being saved into an inheritance that can never perish. A spoil of faith kept in heaven for us. So if it's kept in heaven for us, that means we will go to heaven, isn't it? We were escaped. Something escaped for you. But you are here, but escaped inheritance, and that is to be with Christ. Who through faith we are shielded, that we are protected by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That is why I said it's not just for today, not for a short time. Until Jesus returns, unto that day. And that should give us all the reason to rejoice and to give thanks and to glory in God. You see, even if the presence look like it's going to be a disaster, isn't it? If the presence look like to be a disaster, I've just come back from a trip that was like unusual. You see, I think I mentioned this a few times, and I think I will go on mentioning this. I got into an airplane, cargo ship, and where I was the only passenger. And I got in through a different way, just from the back. And I was the only passenger with all the goods. And then I didn't know what was happening. And this guy, he just let me, he said, just sit on your back. And then suddenly, boom, they closed everything. And I was just really trapped. And I said, what is going on? Yeah, no window, it's just so hot. And I was just feeling like I've been buried. My life was just like finishing. Diminishing. For the first time, I must confess this, I've never felt fear. You see, like that time. My life was just like really jeopardized. And to make things worse, my wife was calling me that time. And I said to myself, this might be the last time for me. And it's good that to hear the last person would be my wife. Well, the Bible says we are kept. We can never be lost in God's hand, even if our life finishes here. Because death actually cannot separate us from God. Well, let me keep going. And then he went. So we are protected. That is why he was praising. Because of this protection and security, we rejoice. That is what he says. He says, in this, you greatly rejoice. Are you rejoicing in your salvation? Are you rejoicing in the forgiveness of your sin? Are you rejoicing that you don't have to carry the burden of your previous sins? Your ignorance. So when you were acting selfishly, indulging yourself in sins, sexual immoralities, you see, lying and pushing people aside and proud, all these things. But here we have all the reason to rejoice. Apostle Peter is telling us that we are rejoicing in our salvation. And he says, he is realistic, isn't he? You hear this word, I don't like it very much, but actually, is a good word as well. That this man, he's realistic. He recognize that we will also go through troubles, isn't it? And this, as we go, there will be subjects on suffering. I hope that I will be preaching about that, because we don't choose what to choose, what to preach. We are sharing with Michael, myself. So here he's saying, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Many are trials of life, but these things can never suck out the joy of the fact that we have been united with our Savior, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, whose power is able to keep us not only from danger, but to keep us praising and rejoicing in God and glory in what God has done for us. The trial can never do that. You may feel pain, but compared to the glory that has been revealed, it's nothing, isn't it? Yeah, this morning I was feeling some pains on this side, and it was really... And then just a thought came to me after I prayed, and just like, you know, like those bags you warm up and then you just place there. And now I'm rejoicing. I don't know. Maybe even these small things, maybe just an inspiration from God. What to do? You see? What to do? Just these small things even. Like, they relieve us from all these trials and troubles we have to go through. Well, Apostle Peter is saying that we are to rejoice. Make sure that the most important thing is not the trials. It's, are you rejoicing because of this salvation and because of this great work of God he has provided? I'm going to say this. That should be enough for us to rejoice. Why we should live a whole life. That is why he says, be holy later on. He said, because God is holy, be holy. Now, he says this, the subjects I'm coming to. And that is from 22 to 25. That is what I was asked to preach. But to connect it, we have been saved through Christ. We have been saved through Christ. We have been saved not just by weak things. For you know that it was not with perishable things. Verse 18. Things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way, from the all ways. It's not just by empty things that were weak. And the reference here is to the gold during that time. Many scholars have said that the gold was losing its value, isn't it? You see? Even gold can lose its values. But we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus that will never lose its values. And that is why it's the perfect price for our redemption. So we have been redeemed from the empty ways, the idolatry, it's called empty way of life, handed down to us, to you, from your forefathers. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And is Christ. He was chosen even before the creation of the world, but revealed in this last time for your sake. Christ came for your sake. And it's through him you believe, not through anyone. It's through him you believe in God. That is why Apostle Peter would praise God who has sent Jesus Christ, in whom we put our trust and faith, and because of the power of his resurrection, he sealed our redemption. Now we have been saved. That is the subject I'm trying to share with you today. Now we have been saved. Now you have been purified. You have been purified. You have been washed clean. You have been set free. You have been purified. That means you have been washed. And you know in the Old Testament that there were the purifications was a process, a ceremonial washing. So people would just wash, symbolizing the washing that should take place in their hearts to honor God. That was what was happening. The washing was pointing to the washing of our conscience. You see, from dead works, from sin, from idolatry. And then And so this is the meaning of the word purification. And I want to tell you, Peter is telling us that we have been purified by obeying the truth, by responding to the message that was preached to us, that unless we put our faith in Christ, we will perish. And by accepting this word, we have been purified. And so that is the meaning. So it looks like we have purified ourselves, but actually we have been purified by God himself, by bringing us to salvation. And this salvation is what really washed us and changed us. That is the purification that we have received from God. It's God himself who has purified us. Two aspects. First, by believing. A person who has believed, the Bible says he has been delivered, isn't it? From sin, has been purified, has been set apart. By obeying the truth. By obeying the truth, to have a sincere love for God himself, to love God. How can we love God? We are incapable of loving God ourselves unless God himself works in us and to reveal the depth of his love to us by opening our hearts. I was reading an article by a chapter in what the Presbyterian know as the Institutes of the Christian Faith by the teacher of the Presbyterian Church, John Calvin. John Calvin talks about two knowledges. And one is this natural knowledge that God has created these things. And he said this is the knowledge that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the patriarchs. And actually that knowledge marked them out of the rest of the people, that they attributed the creation to the living God himself. And he said this knowledge was not the knowledge that led them to redemption. There was a need for a further revelation of God of himself. And that is the word of God that brought salvation. And that is why here Apostle Peter says, we have been saved by the word of God, by the truth that declares God to us, that God loves us. Many of us, we have not seen Jesus physically. But when we come to read that God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he sent his only son, whoever believes in his son will not perish, will have everlasting life. And as you believe in this word, you are saved. Also, Romans 10:9. Please, can you put it up again? So what it says is a word that if you open it yourself and you read it and you believe it, you will be saved. Isn't it? Okay? Is it hard? It's not. If it's hard, I got it on the... Yeah, okay, yeah. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, you will be saved. So you open your Bible and you read this, and you declare that with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord. He is the only one who rules all the messengers, those who are claiming to be real messengers from God. You are saved. When I read, I didn't know that it was in the Bible, in John 8, that Jesus declared these words. And this word Jesus declares, they say that if you hold to my teaching, he was talking to the Jews who had believed in him, in John 8, he said to them, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, I didn't know that this was in the Bible. So one day I was watching this movie. I think I must have shared this. And it was about the formation of Oklahoma City in USA, because the pioneers, they were really establishing and discovering the United States. So there were a group of people on the horses. They were going real into the center to discover that place. There was a young family of Indian, Red Indian, I call them Red Indians, a man and his wife. They had a little daughter. But the white people, young people who were there, they were trying to discriminate against them. And I was just watching this carefully. At the same time, there were two elderly white folk with gray hair. They were standing by their side. But actually, not only that story, but these two couple, they were carrying something in their hands. It was like a piece of cloth. And something was written there, "The truth shall set me free." When I saw that, I pulled out my pen and I wrote it down. And I didn't know what happened after that in the movie. And my heart just went after that. And in the morning, I just got up, I went into the market, the shop, and I bought a poster. And then with a marker, and I wrote it, "The truth shall set me free." And I put it against the wall of my room. And then whenever I locked my room and it stayed at that, I would weep and weep and weep bitterly. "The truth shall set me free." And that to show the extent of my bondages. But only when I came to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord, all my bondages were gone. And I was set free from all the despairs and all the search after the truth by reading philosophies. So here we have been told, since we have been purified, since we have been born again, to love God and to have sincere love for God and for one another. And then now he's urging us to love one another deeply from the heart. So now that is the thing. Do we love one another from the heart that has been purified? And because if we leave it like that and we don't use the rest of the scripture to tell us why it is very important for us really to love one another. You see, it's very important because by loving one another, Jesus says, the world will know that you are my disciples. That is the mark he has marked out among all these Christian virtues that reveals him as being our Lord and our Savior, if we have love for one another. Not only that, so when we have love for one another, we are truly children of God, and we are truly being born again. When we have love for one another, then we can serve God really shoulder to shoulder, isn't it? Why do we join together as Christians, supporting one another, helping one another in our walk with God? Well, let me take you to the Old Testament. And there is this chapter that I love so much. That talks also about the purification. When we have been purified, what happens? When we have been saved. So, well, in Zephaniah chapter 3, the Lord says that I will purify the lips of the people on that day, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. You cannot serve God without loving him and loving his own people. Because most of our service is directed to churches, to people. That is why we go to mission, to strengthen churches, to strengthen our brethren. When they go through suffering, trouble, we sacrifice our resources because of this love that the Holy Spirit reveals in us for one another. So we don't want to arrive without them. We don't want to be comforted without them being comforted, isn't it? We want to make sure that all of us, the body of Christ, we share all the blessings God has given us, giving the true confession that we are his own people. That is very important that we take this seriously. Also, we know that since we have been saved and why we are being urged to love one another from the heart, because simply Peter is going back again in verse 23. He's just like going around. He's saying, "Because for you have been born again." See? He talks first about being born again. Then again, he just come back. He said, "Love one another." And he said, "Because we have been born again." As if we have been born again and saved for this very, only this very purpose. See? So he's just like going around saying, we have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And now he put emphasis on the word of God. And I was going to spend a lot of time talking to you about the word of God. See? Because there are many, in many places, there is references to the rule of the work of God, the word of God in our salvation. Is the word of God. So to give you only two references. James 1, verse 18, tells us that we have been chosen. We have been chosen. You read that in verse 17. Every good and perfect gift come from God, from above, coming down from the Father. The Father who chose us, who chose to give us birth through the word of truth. You see, by obeying this word of truth, you are born again. And not so this is very serious. It's serious. That's why Apostle Peter tells us the place of the word of God in our salvation. That is why we should have the high view of the word of God. Because how can we believe? Romans 10. How can we believe without the word of God? Without hearing this word. That is what Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10. He declares this. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So the message that brings our salvation is the word of God. But he is urging us to have love for one another. Do you have love for one another? As you have heard this word, that is why he said, this is the very word was preached to you. And the lack of love really is seen in many circles. Unbelieving people. Just go to South Sudan and see a government that is leading a nation that they don't love so much. The absence of love, you see it clearly in these places where the government has millions and millions of dollars and would not want to use them to help the sufferings of the people. People are hungry. But themselves, they take everything to themselves. So when there is absence of love, you see self-centeredness, lack of caring for others. But the emphasis is for us as believers, as those who have been born again, that we are to love one another. We are to love one another. And you should draw this strength from this very truth that Peter has been declaring to us, saying that because this word of God has the power not only to save you, but even to keep you in faith and to have this love reigning in your heart by which you are loving your brother, your neighbor, your brother, loving him, not just with word, but with everything that in your capacity. Because of this free work of God in purifying you, why you should be saved. You are saved for a purpose. You know, like when you hear the news, some people who have great achievements, and the commentators always will say they have been decorated, isn't it, with these great achievements, gold medals and things like that, isn't it? Well, we have been decorated to love. We have been purified. That is what the word says, to be people who care to the love of God in their hearts. And the love of God, wherever you go, disarms the circles that are there. And also, the love for one another brings healings even to your brother and sister. Bring the sense of security to them that they're worth something. Some people, they don't know even their worth. It's only God who knows our worth. And he reveals this to us. That is why we don't go and endangering our lives. Because we're worth that Christ should die for us. And that is why sometimes when we love our brothers, though we show them their real value, that they are worthy of love. And then the Bible urges us to put them first. It's just something divine when you go about doing these things. Well, do I have a photo of one of my trips? One example I want to share with you. If you put it there, I will tell you which one to stop at. Well, I was told that many of my stories, many of my stories are, they were coming from Egypt or from overseas. Well, in that photo, where is that police officer? Oh, yeah, that is the very photo that I wanted, and it looks looking like. Do you have another photo? Oh, yeah, excellent, this man. The man in the police uniform. The photo is blurred, but the message is very important to me. This man, I met him for the first time in 1989. I came out from Sudan as a young lad going to university. And among South Sudanese students, so most of them were really very mature. Some of them had children. So I was really very fresh. I was very young. So when I came, this man, I met him, and he really embraced me as a younger brother. He loved me dearly. So much. He's a Dinka man, Madingmajak, that is his name. While I was visiting him for the first time in 20 years, seeing him in 20 years, it happened that his brother was visiting him. His brother was the South Sudanese ambassador to Congo. He was visiting his brother at that time. I was able to meet him. So this man, he loved me dearly, so much. When he saw me coming into his office, being led by a younger officer, and so we waited until he's a little bit, because he is in the charge of the whole immigration in the country. If you want a passport or anything, he is the person to sign. He's the last person. So I got into his office, that was very busy. And then later on, when we got a chance, this guy got up and gave him a bit of greeting and said, I'm introducing to you someone. And then he saw me and he recognized me. And he just moved out of his office, of his desk. And he gave me a big hug. And he rejoiced that he saw me. And he said, it's really good to see you. And I was just like, in his presence, felt all the love of the world on me. And he asked me about my family. And he told me about his journey. After he finished, he did journalism, this man. And then he went back to Sudan and he joined forces, the police forces. And then it happened that he was taken into South Sudan. He went and he ended up in my hometown where I did training. I did a primary school. And so because he was a Christian man, the whole army, they were Muslim fanatic who were promoting Islam among the local people. And he took upon himself, the officer, to share the gospel with young children. And something that didn't really race well with the Muslims' high-ranking leaders. They didn't like that. First, when he was in Nasser, so they wanted to remove him into my own small town that was like a few miles, 10 maybe or 15. So it was just like a corner to get rid of him. So what happened, he had a small farm at the back of his house. But they took him away before the harvest. So these people, they are very funny. So that they can take his harvest. But he left a message. He said, when the harvest comes, take all my harvest to the church. And that, when he left, the Muslim people were trying to take all the things. They couldn't. They were told like he left a message. The people were very angry. So when he got into that small town, they wanted to get rid of him because he was so fanatic about his faith. Not in a bad way. So what happened, he said, there was another Christian guy who was like acting like a chaplain to the army. He became even a Muslim himself, that guy. And now he is left with no choice. And then he went to that guy. He said that guy actually come from his hometown. He's a Dinka guy as well. He went up to him and said, can you give me the Bible? Because this Bible, this is a property of the church. Now you need to go and find Quran. And something also the Muslim didn't like very well. So and the high-ranking guy in the army came up to him and said, can you give me the Bible? He said, why? He said, I want to go and use it for tobacco, to smoke tobacco. He said, well, this belongs to the church. It's a property of God's people, and I cannot give it to you. And then they decided really to get rid of him. So what they did, they had a plan. They sent to the headquarters. They said, this guy has gone missing. So, well, the people said to him, well, look, bring him alive. We want him here in the headquarters of the Great Apanal alive. And so when the message came back, so they couldn't do anything. And then there was a boat coming, going to the center. And so many of South Sudanese soldiers, they said, you move, you go away. And he went. And he shared all these things with me as we were in the office. And he said, God protected me. He said there was no life, but all that I was doing, I will just go home and read my Bible. And he read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He said, God protected me. And then while we were sitting and sharing, suddenly a junior young man came into the office, a junior officer. And when he saw that guy, he embraced him and he greeted him and he called me. He said, Pastor, come please. And he held my hand and he held the hand of this guy. He said to me, pray for this young man. Just imagine, in the city, the high official in the immigration would just want to pray in the office. He said, pray for this young man. This man, young man, he's a driver of the high commissioner of the police in the whole nation. He said his job is very hard, very difficult, Moses, and I prayed for him. So when I was there, it was just incredible. I felt great love. And then he went out for a short time. I was with his brother, and he was also sharing with me, talking to me. And I just couldn't help. I just broke down in tears. And I said, Madding was really a brother to me. And this man I met for the first time, a Christian man from South Sudan, a Dinka man, he held me as well as younger brother. This love I felt was just huge for me. It tells me beyond any doubt that the Bible speaks about real things that we can experience as Christians ourselves. These things, they heal us. These things, they give us reasons to press on and to move on. And that is why this is not here in vain. We are a people called by God, purified, to have the love of God in our hearts and to have the love for one another. And from the heart, a heart that has been cleansed, a heart that is free from hypocrisy. You see, real love. That is why we cannot manufacture love. I find it so difficult to manufacture love. So that is why you need to be filled with this love. You need to know it. Because you cannot leave this world without experiencing this love of God and this dimension of loving brethren who have come to believe in Jesus. And that is why. Do you love your brothers? Do you love Christians? Wherever you go, when you meet someone who says he is a Christian, do you really burst into praising God and just embracing this person? And maybe you tell him, oh, why we just don't go and find something? Did you have food? Something like that. Are you warm enough? I have 3 layers. Can I get 1 layer? You see, I'm going to bed tonight and I know that I will have not only 1 meal, many meals. But has he got a meal? See, we heard about treasures in heaven, isn't it? Many of us, we have treasures here on this earth. And we would not want to spend them to show love and reality and practice to our brethren who are holding fast, praying to Jesus, praising him, glorifying him for his salvation, and yet they have nothing. And yet they have nothing. And many of them I have met. They are thanking God. Even this man, Peter Lum, this man. These two men, they are my heroes. They are my heroes. And I must declare this. These are my heroes. I'm heroes and I'm prepared really to pack with all my family and really to be with these two men. Because these two men, they take the message of gospel seriously. These people. So do you see that map? So the purple one, Sinja. So you got the yellow, you got the green, and then you got, is that purple? Because I'm not good with colors. So and that center is a small place. That is a center. This is where this young man is based. And this young man, I taught him really two subjects, maybe, or subjects, at Nile Theological College in 2018. 2 years later, when he finished, he went back all the way. That is the west, the eastern part of northern Sudan, Blue Nile. So he plays there. He's a Shuluk boy, very young, 32, maybe 33 now. And he's placed there. And he is trying to cover this place because that is the only evangelical witness in that place. There's a Catholic church there, but I must say also there is an Anglican church. They are doing a good job. But this young man, he's the only Presbyterian boy who is serving there. And so with him, with this man, Peter Lam. Peter Lam is a new man. So these two people, they're a couple, and they are facing a lot of opposition from even other people who come from the very tribe, my tribe, Nui, from Peter. But they hate these two guys because they love the Lord and sincere, and they serve all South Sudanese community. So this man now, he is in Sinja with his family serving. And there is no any means for him that he can do this ministry unless the love of the Christians and everywhere else. That ministry in that place depends solely on the support of Christians from our side. And so Peter Lam, while he was with him, and actually they were ordained that the very week in 2022 when I was leaving, I left on Tuesday and they were ordained on Wednesday, the 6th of October 2022. So in January 2023, Peter Lam decided to go all the way back to the capital, Juba, to further train, to understand the scriptures, so that he can go back and serve with this young man and cover that region. So he left, he sold all his properties, everything, and they mounted only to a ticket that would take him to Juba. Knowing nobody, just going there. And so what happened for the first 6 months, he was just like having something to put next to a fence and he's sleeping. And when it is raining, he would just go in the house and just stay there in the kitchen until it's dry. And then he would just go there. And then he would walk every day, 2 hours to go to the theological college, and he will have only one meal and come back. But this man, he is reading the same scriptures. He's holding fast to the promises of Jesus Christ. And I met him when I was going the last time. And so now he is there trusting the Lord and just relying on the love of the brethren. And guess what? Just only a few dollars can take him through when we have millions of dollars and we try to say that we love one another, and that is not there. I don't see it. So the challenge for us is like this love really is sacrificial and is real. If you have been truly being born again, if you have been set free from the things of this world. I was praying with another man who has a disability. He's in Egypt. This man, he's 67 maybe. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he kept a testimony in the midst of suffering and struggles, showing the love of God, that he has been purified. So the love we have for one another enables us to stand by our sides and to live it out and to be bold in this, because the love sets free from any fear, because the perfect love casts out fear, isn't it? The Bible says, fear of man, fear of circumstances. And then you can abandon yourself fully to God. The rule of the word in our salvation is amazing. So as we obey this word, we will be saved and we will be kept to love God. Because all men are like grass. Man cannot save us, but the word of God stands forever. And this is the very word that we have received. That is what Peter is finishing this section with. And this is the word that was preached to you. There's nothing. It's not big thing. It's just a simple word, isn't it? That is the power of the word. So the word does its job. Do you love one another? Do you love one another from the heart? Do you really love Jesus? Do you love God's people? Not just only those who look like you, but even those who do not look like you. Even those who are not highly educated like you. Even those maybe who are not very intellectual. Maybe those who are not rich like you, not those who are very sophisticated like you, but only those who have been purified. Because these are the people God is delighting in. And these are the people he will welcome. He'll say, faithful servant, welcome. You see, into the banquet of your heavenly Father. You've been purified, you have kept the truth, you have obeyed it, and you have the love of God in your heart. You have shown it to your brothers, you have shown it to your neighbors, you have shown it even to your enemy. Do you have this love? Well, I hope this will not be my last time to talk about this love. Now I'm just trying to help myself and to make myself acquainted to talk about it. Because it's a subject that I've been avoiding so much, because it's a real thing. It's what governs our lives, and it's what moves us, and it's what really defines our service to our brothers and to the Lord. It's this love that has been poured out into our hearts. It was give us our identity, the family identity, the true identity of the people in the family, being born into the house of God. This is what we have. It's a characteristic of our God. It's the DNA of our family. And so the lack of love, that means you do not belong to the house of God. You have not been purified. You have not come to obey the truth. That pour out this love into our hearts. Makes us to be selfless, makes us to be bold and yet gentle and meek and ready even to give this life. That was what Jesus did. He said there is no greater love that one should give himself for the sake of his brothers, the people he loved. It's sacrificial, it's death. It's death, my friends, it's death. This love is incredible. And that is if we have the Bible in our homes. And so let us make sure that we have this love. And so no wonder why even marriages are struggling. Because even this, if people, the couple, have this same love, you won't struggle, isn't it? You will be praised be to God who has given us this birth. You see, this great birth, salvation. Love one another from the heart. Make sure that your heart is full of love for one another.